This is the House of Pop Culture. I am Anthony Donovan.
Amy Meredith.
Durwood Murray.
And Joe Reese.
And for the next hour or so, we'll be talking your face off about all things pop culture related. And this is a special episode that I have my favorite topic. It is a music episode. I'm super excited. Kids, years ago, in the past.
Wait. Let me get some popcorn. Sit down.
Before the iTunes.
Whoa.
And before the YouTube.
There was a time before iTunes?
There was, Little Billy. And in that time, music songs were actually gathered together in a single collection where it was a device with which you could play up to 10, sometimes more songs by the same artist.
Are we talking about a playlist?
No. It's not a playlist, Sally. What it is it's called an album.
Album.
What's an album?
Right? And thank you, Ralph. On this episode, we're throwing down the gauntlet and we are listing our favorite all-time top five albums.
And I think it should be noted here that when we say our favorite, what we really mean is the best.
Yeah, well, of course, because our opinion's never wrong. And you want to know why?
No,
because we got the mics.
Well, that's true.
These are not necessarily the best. These are my favorite. And I had certain criteria for mine to be able to make this list manageable.
My taste is excellent, so my top five is the five best albums.
Well, and also, I want to say, because keeping this to five
was ridiculous.
Is tantamount to cruelty for someone like me.
This is almost as bad as the Simpsons episode.
Well, this is what my whole thing, my criteria was like the Simpsons. This would change tomorrow. If you asked me my favorite five tomorrow,
and
it would probably change.
You know what? For me, it was quite easy, because I don't listen to that many albums. You know, I'm a singles guy. I have recently rediscovered
the joy of listening to an album from start to finish.
But mine, and I don't know what yours was, your criteria, Joe's, but my criteria was something that I like to listen to from start to finish.
Yep, that's it.
Mm-hmm. That was
mine,
my criteria, yeah.
Start to finish, and I did not include greatest hits.
Well, yeah.
And that was tough for me because
I know
a couple
that's,
crazy
it's
really
tough, but that's cheating.
That's cheating.
That's a fucking
because ABBA Gold is ABBA Gold to people.
And then also, I did create a list of some of my favorite greatest hits, and then I did include live albums.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I tried ones that had almost a theme throughout that were a complete album, not just a collection of songs.
Like, yeah.
Not all of them are, but my top three are.
And it was so tough because there were these albums that I absolutely love by acts I adore, except for that one song. And so for that, it didn't make the top five. And this list is in no way indicative of what my musical tastes are in general.
Oh, because you're all over the board.
I am all over the place. And there are...
Mine is.
There are great...
Yeah, mine is a little too.
There are great albums that I couldn't put on the list.
And I'm sure you had the same problem that I did with Prince and Madonna.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to put either one of them in my five right now. We may talk about it later, but
you're a goddamn traitor.
I couldn't do it because I love just about everything they do.
Yeah.
But I can tell you what my favorites are, but I would rather get in there some of the other ones because I know we're going to talk about Prince and Madonna.
Absolutely. Because I could give you a top five on both
right.
of those.
Right. So
easily.
Could I. Easily. Yeah.
I will say the only problem I had was actually putting these in an order.
I have a list and I'm gonna randomly just chunk some off
Mine's
this list.
Mine's kind of in order.
I wanna know if anybody else ran into this because when I started compiling the albums that I love and that meant the most to me, I noticed that almost every single one of them signifies a very specific time in my life.
Some of them.
Yes, actually. Yeah, I find that very much to be true.
I mean, there's always some... With music, there's always going to be some sentimental attachment to it. But I didn't go in there making a list with that in mind. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, are we ready? Let's do this.
I think we're ready. I feel kind of bad because some of mine are so modern. But they will... Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You'll make up for me.
Number five.
Wait, who's starting?
I want to start.
Oh, Anthony's going to start tonight.
I never get to start.
Do it.
All right.
You start every goddamn podcast.
Right? My number five favorite album came out in 2001, and it was from an artist who has not had a lot of success here in the U.S., but the weird thing about that is elsewhere in the world, hugely successful, and I'm talking about Robbie Williams.
Oh, okay.
And the album is called Sing When You're Winning. And I lied. It came out in 2000. But
he's on my honorable mentions list.
And I've been a big fan of his for a while. And this album, it's a great collection of songs because it was one of those albums that, you know, I was a big fan of his and I was going to get anyway. But the more I listen to it, the more I realize, I was like, wow, there's really, for me, not a bad song on this album. And I, you know, it takes me back to a very particular time and place, you know, and this album was, it was just one of those ones that I put on in the car and just kept it on repeat all the time because it was so good. It was such a strong collection of pop songs of that time. And yeah, I'm a big fan.
And I do have to thank you for, because I'd never heard of Robbie Williams and you're the one that kind of introduced me to him. Yep. And that's one of my honorable mentions.
You're the best of friends.
Right. Right. Robbie Williams brought us together. Yeah. But no, that is
And incidentally,
a great one.
There are at least a dozen curable STDs I would catch for one night with Robbie Williams.
Duly noted.
Oh, that's kind of creepy. Okay. All right. Durwood.
All right, I'll go next. My number five, we're going to go with 2 by Boys to Men. In my opinion, the best R&B album to come out of the 90s, probably one of the best R&B albums of all time.
I would buy that.
Got What's R&B? Me,
rhythm and blues, son. Rhythm and blues. Got me through my very first heartbreak ever, way back in 1994.
Is that
Thank
the
first
you.
Time they just continued Hostess Cupcakes?
F you. It was a girl. It was a girl! But Boys to Men got me through that. Oh, man. So many hits on that one.
Yeah.
That was
I'll Make Love to You.
On Bended Knee. Thank you. Their cover of Yesterday is on
Water Runs Dry.
One. Yes. Oh, my Lord. So good. So good.
Thank you. I actually like that track. Their one up-tempo song from that album.
Oh, my Lord. 50 Candles. Oh, just... I'm just thinking about it now, and it's like a warm blanket that just comforts me. Lets me know that everything's going to be all right.
Amy. Yes, that was the sound of Durwood's erection right there.
Because of where I work, I listen to music just about for 8 solid hours during my day.
You should know that Amy works in an elevator.
And I will actually go on YouTube and pull up all the tracks on this album because I love it. And it's this really odd mix of country and cool and... It is Jack White and Loretta Lynn's Van Leer Rose.
Okay.
It is a cool album.
And the thing I love about that record is it sounds very gimmicky, the concept of it.
But it's not.
And I think Jack White did such a great, and Meg White did such a great job of preserving the integrity of Loretta Lynn's sound.
Yeah.
And it really sounded like an honest-to-God Loretta Lynn album.
Well, because the songs that came out are really great, and they're singles for reasons. But there's a song on that album called High Up on the Mountaintop
It's bluegrass.
It's almost a classic bluegrass song. I mean, you would have never thought Jack White had his hands on this. And I think he's kind of a little bit of a genius. Mm-hmm. But But on that album, the two of them together, it is just a beautiful love letter to Loretta Lynn and what she does best.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the best albums to come out in a long time.
That's one of those that I always meant to check out, but I never did.
You should.
It's really awesome.
Yeah, and you should. Joe.
All right, my number 5 is the only album on my list that was around when I was alive. actually, one of my honorable mentions came out the year I was born. But this is the only one, and this artist has so many albums. I love them all. And I think this one was the first one that I bought on CD. I had the other ones on cassette, but this was the first one, like when I first got my first CD player and I got this on CD and I listened to it constantly. And you put that album on anywhere in that and I can just instantly go into it. It is called Off the Deep End by Weird Al Yankovic. It has almost one of my favorite polkas on there.
That saying very often.
The polka medley on that one is actually pretty dope.
No, what I mean,
and it's funny because so my favorite polka is
again, you don't hear
Hot
a lot
Rocks
of
polka from the UHF album, which is the Rolling Stones one. But this was a bunch. This had
you
this
just polka don't hear had, the words. My favorite polka.
Well, Cradle of Love, Love Shack, Pump Up the Jam, Losing My Religion, Unbelievable, Do Me, Enter Sandman, The Humpty Dance, Cherry Pie, Miss You Much, I Touch Myself, Dr. Feelgood. Ended with Ice Ice Baby.
God bless Weird Al.
But also on this, you had Smells Like Nirvana.
Yeah.
Great video. Yeah. Dick Van Patten was
which
in it.
Which I loved LTV. LTV, yes. Where they would show the real video and then the Weird Al video.
Yeah.
Like Kurt Cobain was so ecstatic. Mm-hmm. He's like, I knew we made it. I made it because Weird Al parodied. Yeah.
That is an honor.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think the two artists that fully embraced it were Kurt Cobain and Michael Jackson.
Yep.
Like when Fat came out, he got like, I was reading, he like got 12 copies of it to give to friends and family.
It's fantastic.
But
that's
yeah, how it also you know. Had the white stuff, Taco Grande, the plumbing song. Weird Al is awesome.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Number four.
Whoa, number four.
Okay, number four. This is actually the most recent album on my list. And it is what happens when you take an exciting new talent, someone who's really got something special. You mix them with a genius producer, and you take one of the best underground bands ever.
Ooh.
And the result is Amy Winehouse's Back to Black.
Oh, yes. That's on my honorable mentions as well.
And the love I have for this record is kind of ridiculous. There's not a bad song on it.
Nope.
It is, I believe, the finest work Mark Ronson has ever done.
Yeah.
And Amy Winehouse, first of all, and it was tough for me not to put her first album, Frank, on there, because that album is the fucking jam. So good. But she went in a totally different direction, and this was the album that ushered in the 60s come lately kind of retro sound again, and I've yet to see it done as well with the retro, but with a modern twist. Because the band she worked with, of course, the Dap Kings, which are amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings do some fantastic, pure retro soul. Whereas Amy Winehouse did something with a neo-retro twist on it, and it's so good. And, you know, it's a bunch of bitter, sad breakup songs, and as luck would have it, when that album came out, luck, I guess, I was going through a divorce. So, you know, I...
Yay.
Yay. And it was, you know, it was something, like I said, a lot of these records on my list, they tend to come from very significant times in my life. And that was a significant time in my life. And just a great, great album.
Yeah, it's on my honorable mentions list.
As much fun as we made of her, and I even predicted her death on this podcast,
which
I apologize.
Which was kind of creepy.
Yeah.
You know, Amy Winehouse, it was a tragedy that such a great talent
was
lost.
But was it, like... that really hard to predict? I mean, well, no offense.
No,
but... Yeah, but here's the thing. I said it, and then it happened immediately.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
before we even recorded the next show.
Yeah, it was, like, pretty creepy. Did you do something?
I didn't.
Did you put something in her drink?
No.
Like vodka?
No.
I'm horrible.
Please, I'm sure she was drinking lighter fluid towards the end.
All right, my number four, and I'm actually... when you hear the rest of my list, you'll understand why this one's number four, but it probably should be higher, but I just have a hard time putting it any higher than the rest of my list, but it's so fucking good, and it's Ready to Die, Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't listen to hip-hop, I'm
game
sorry.
Changer.
This may go over your head, but yeah, Game Changer is fucking right. It was. I think about this album, and it brings me to tears knowing that he's no longer with us. Just with somebody's debut album was just that fucking good. And the things he did on, we were having a discussion earlier before we recorded about one of the lines that he has on his song that I've had discussions with people about this line and relating it with Shakespeare. And I think it's actually that kind of genius. When he says something like, scheme on the way to the telly, gonna fill my belly, a T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape. And how he rhymes the end, but he makes us think that he's rhyming a different word that he doesn't even say.
But your brain connects it for
exactly.
some reason.
Exactly, your brain connects because he was a fucking genius lyricist. And he had this fucking dope-ass image for me. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a bit of a big guy.
What?
He made me think that I could still be cool and I could get ladies, you know. And he had that kind of swagger and that attitude. And
important to note, for those who've never seen Durwood, Biggie was approximately 17 times size of the size of Durwood.
Okay, but
He has a complex.
Anyway.
It would take like 4 or 5 Durwoods to make a Biggie.
Whatever, I'm just saying. I looked up
a Biggie
to the guy
pack
and
5 Durwoods. I'm sorry. Go
if
on.
If you're any kind of fan of hip hop and you're not familiar with this whole album,
you're not actually a fan of hip hop.
Exactly. You really should.
I don't
be.
Listen to hip hop.
Cop it now.
Yep.
Go get that shit.
And it's aged beautifully.
Yeah, I feel stronger about it as time goes on, and I get more and more upset with the current state of hip hop, knowing that album is out there.
The current state of hip hop, not the current state of Puffy.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you forget, Puff Daddy produced that record.
He sure did.
And
he
it was,
sure did.
You know,
was he called Puff Daddy at that time? Or
he was just Puffy.
He was Puffy.
Sean Puffy Combs at that time.
You know,
now
and
he's the Poofy Dog.
And now Lord only knows what, you know, it's just...
Yeah, it's sad to see where things have gone, but I mean,
he's producing Fiat commercials.
Just that moment in time, 1995?
Four.
Okay, whatever.
Rain Man.
It didn't blow up till 95, but it came out in 94.
And it was, still to this day, genius. Love you, Biggie.
Great album.
R.I.P.
Okay, my next one, and I'm probably going to catch some slack from the hardcore fans of this group, because this album was kind of a betrayal of everything they were. But when this album came out, I became obsessed with it. And I still am. And I will listen to this sucker from start to finish. And I love it. And it's Beautiful Garbage by Garbage.
Such a great record.
And I know that
so good
fans of Garbage actually hated that album.
It was a pop album.
And I loved it. Yeah. A Cup of Coffee is an amazing song. But again, I became obsessed with this thing where I think I listened to it every single day for like months.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
And it was really funny because I had read an interview with Shirley Manson, and she talked about the making of that album and how like they were staying in hotels for months at a time, and they were in the US, and she was absolutely miserable and homesick the entire time. And it just cracks me up because I guess you got to keep her miserable to make them make good music, because which is not to say their other stuff is crap. It's just, you know,
garbage
for me.
I see what you did there.
For me, that was the first time.
Oh, I did that, didn't I?
That was the first time they stepped out of that 90s alternative, you know, sound and did something different. And I love it.
I love that album. The whole thing is so good to me. But I understand that because I wasn't a fan of theirs.
Yeah.
And so I understand the true fans of Garbage just hated that album. But I'm sorry. If you were a fan of Garbage, I apologize for not knowing their back catalog. But I loved that album.
Joe.
All right. Now we're going way back. We're going back to the 60s. Which
what we're
going to
do right here is go back.
And this is one of my... what's vinyl? In high school, this was probably my favorite band. It's since changed, but they're up there with one of my favorite bands. One of the greatest frontmen of all time. Rest in peace. And probably...
Morris Day's not dead.
Probably one of the best debut albums, The Doors.
Oh, yeah.
It has... That's on my honorable mention. I mean, their probably three biggest hits are Break On Through, Light My Fire, and The End.
Yeah. Oh,
all three are on there. And then, I mean, you also have Soul Kitchen, Crystal Ship, 20th Century Fox. I love Alabama Song. Yes, I want to open, Alabama Song, Whiskey Bar.
Yes.
Which I want to open a whiskey bar called Alabama Song, Whiskey Bar.
Oh, that's my new gastropub.
And then on the sign says, show me the way to the next little girl. But
I'm pretty sure you could get locked up for having a sign.
Have you seen some of the stuff that gets posted around places?
Yeah, and this album's on my honorable mention.
I'm just talking midgets.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Morrison is amazing and probably one of the best frontmen. I mean, because when you think The Doors, you think Jim Morrison. I mean, don't get me wrong, the rest of the entire band is brilliant as well. And
rest in peace, Ray Manzarek.
But yeah, it's...
I'm right there with you on that one, Joe.
All right.
Anthony.
My number three.
Durwood.
Number three.
You're a little slow that time.
Sorry.
My number three is actually the oldest album on my list. Joe was 5 when it came out. just thought I'd mention that. I grew up, as I've mentioned many times on the show, I grew up in a house full of music. My dad is a musician. My mom loved music. My brother's super into it. So like a house full of music. So I had a full musical knowledge from the time I could walk and talk. And when I was 9 years old, I got to really, because you know that moment in your life where you buy that first album,
and it's
yours, and you buy it. And I loved this album when it came out, and I still love it to this day. And it is now 30 years since this album came out, and they're celebrating the 30th anniversary, and I can't even believe it. It is Cyndi Lauper, She's So Unusual. Really, really great album. And I have said it many times on this podcast, and I'm going to keep saying it until I can't say it anymore. Cyndi Lauper is easily one of the most underrated artists of all time.
See, I have her on my honorable mentions list, but I have Hatful of Stars.
And that's a great album, too.
Hatful of Stars is an amazing album.
You know, but that came out a decade later.
Yeah.
But She's So Unusual. It's there's just so much kitschy fun to it, and it's so upbeat, and there's so much reggae in it,
yeah,
which I never noticed before. There's, you know, a whole, it's like this pastiche of 80s sounds and this incredible vocalist on it. And it's, you know, of course, everybody knows the hits, and it spawned a whole bunch of hits, but everything else on it is really cool too. And yeah, I mean, I loved it then, and I love it now. I still, to this day, I think I've owned that album on all formats. Yeah,
and if you ever get the opportunity to see her live,
highly
recommend
she
it.
She sounds better now than she did 20
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Durwood. All right.
Contrary to two of my co-hosts here, I had no problem putting Prince on my list. My number three is Purple Rain. It is the only album that we have on my list where I can actually name you every single track on it from memory in order. I listened to it on vinyl, on dubbed tape, on road trips. On CD, I've listened to it also as well. On my iPod, I've listened to it. Since it came out in 1984, has always been with me.
It's the standard by which a lot of things have been compared to.
Yeah, and here's the thing. A lot of people will ask, you know, does it hold up? Is it? It's
a lot of people are stupid.
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. Timeless. It really. It wasn't even of its own time when it came out.
Purple Rain was the album that, in my opinion, made the world realize that Prince was always going to be in a class entirely his own.
Yeah.
Agreed.
You can't compare that to any other album of its time or now.
No, you're absolutely right.
And it's, you know, it is, in my opinion, a perfect album. And here's the thing. It's not my favorite Prince album.
No.
It's not even in my top 10 favorite Prince albums. Although I do acknowledge how great it is. But for
it
me...
It would be in my top 10.
For me, there's so much more.
Yeah.
I hear you, but it's the connection that I have with Prince.
Everyone should love it.
It was my yeah. introduction to Prince, and it's like, Anthony, I've often heard you say, if you don't like Prince, then you just don't like music.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I feel about this album.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it first came out, I was all about Let's Go Crazy, I Would Die For You. A few years later, Purple Rain really mm-hmm. resonated with me. Nowadays, Computer Blue, a song I hated when that album first came
out. It took me 25 years to like that song.
Yeah, same here. But now that song is fucking genius.
I have to play the uncut version for you because it's amazing.
Okay,
it's also like 20 minutes long. But
the beautiful ones.
Oh my lord!
It's probably one of my favorite ballads.
That song is great.
Yeah.
Again, not necessarily when it first came out, but yeah, as time goes on, something new will pop out at you as that.
The woman for which Prince wrote some of his best love songs, including Nothing Compares to You. The Beautiful Ones was actually the first song he wrote about that girl.
Oh, okay. That was...
Susanna Melvoin.
Yeah.
Wendy's twin sister. Yes. I love it when they listen.
All right. Amy?
My number three is a woman who has probably what I think is one of the greatest voices in pop music.
Kesha.
Yes. That would be Annie Lennox. The album is Diva.
Oh, okay. So good.
Walking on Broken Glass.
So good.
Is probably one of my favorite pop songs. Little Bird is on there.
Why is my favorite
Why
song
is amazing. Money Can't Buy It.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing album. And I could probably do a couple of hers because I love her voice so much.
And it took so long for her to have a solo album because it had been a decade since Eurythmics when that album came out. And I remember, like, I was like, oh, she's finally going to put out an album. And it was so good.
Yeah.
And it is still so good.
The Love Song for a Vampire, which came from Bram Stoker's Dracula, was a B-side off of that. And it's an amazing album. And a lot of people don't give Annie Lennox the solo credit I think she actually deserves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's brilliant. And that album is probably that one is my favorite of all of hers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Joe.
All right. So... part of my criteria is I was not going to include soundtracks.
I have a few, but I didn't
because
include
too late. I've already done it. However, that's slightly different because with soundtrack, my next three are more, you consider them concept albums because they were before what would be considered the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, 1972. The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars.
Well, there you go.
That's actually one of my favorite titles.
Yeah, and it's probably not necessarily the best Bowie album, but just from start to finish, it is just an amazing album. And it's kind of what Bowie is known for. And Bowie, like Prince, I think is a game changer. He is a class upon himself.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't think you can categorize him.
Yeah, and I was so glad that I got to see him twice in concert, and fucking Joey met him. But but that's a different story. But and it's a great show, and but yes, this album and then the concert film of it is
iconic,
is amazing as well. And just the live recording, if you have not heard it, listen to it, because if you don't like Bowie, I don't like you.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing about someone like Bowie, because you know, with a lot of artists who've had a lengthy career, you can point them to different points in that career and be like, all right, well, you know, this part. There's never been the same Bowie twice.
Oh, no. Mm.
There just has not.
Good call.
I mean, you could listen to Ziggy Stardust. You could listen to the stuff he did with Tin Machine. His 80s pop stuff. And there's so much to that.
What, 10 years ago when Reality came out, that album.
Yeah.
I love that album.
And his work with Trent Reznor. And like, yeah, kids, listen to your Bowie.
you need to stock up on your David Bowie
and get you an education
and get the best of Bowie. If you just want to get a little, and the two disc one, because it is one of the greatest best of albums.
Yeah, and there's never been the same Bowie twice, and I love that about him.
Yeah. Number two.
Okay, my number two, as I've said many times on this podcast, I have two favorite artists of all time, Prince and Madonna. And my number two album of all time is a Madonna record. And it came out in 1989. And in my opinion, it is the album that changed her career forever. And that is Like a Prayer.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you have to, for those of you old enough to remember when Madonna first came on the scene, when she first came out, she was essentially viewed as a Britney Spears. As she was viewed now, or like Spice Girls or anything like that. She was not to be taken seriously. She's a pop star.
Right.
She sang silly dance songs and did her thing and showed her midriff and humped the floor in a wedding dress, blah, blah, blah.
Wouldn't be around for long.
Wouldn't be around for long, so people thought. By the time you get to Like a Prayer, which is only 7 years after that debut, you have an album that is deeply personal, that is extremely textured in its sounds. There's orchestral work in it. There's... It really just takes her to another place. And Rolling Stone put it best in their review of this album. They said, Like a Prayer is proof that Madonna should not only be taken seriously as an artist, but that hers is one of the most compelling voices of the decade. Mm. And if you listen to it now, even 25 years later, God, I'm old. 25 years later, you'll hear, because, you know, Madonna, she was 30 at that point. You know, so she was sharing some real shit on that album, and, you know, talking about her Catholic upbringing, talking about being in an abusive marriage, talking about losing her mother, talking about having to sit in the same room with Prince for days at a time, you know, all of the traumatic things. And, you know, and of course the hits, everybody knows Like a Prayer and Express Yourself and Cherish. They're great. But, you know, Prince also looms largely on this album, which is probably why I like it so much. There's a lot of credited and uncredited appearances on it, but it's such a good album, and it's solid, and it is the moment that her path really changed. And that's something I've always noticed about Madonna, is that whenever she hits those landmark birthdays, because when she turned 40 is when she put out Ray of Light, which in my estimation is her second best album. you know, and when she turned 50, Hard Candy, don't sleep on it, haters.
Oh, Hard Candy is so good.
Love that album. Anyway, but yeah, Like a Prayer... for me, was the game changer for Madonna, and it holds up.
Well, see, that's why I didn't have to put it on my list, because I knew you would.
And
because
I prattle on about it for 10 minutes, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. 100%, if I was going to put Madonna, the album on there, it would be.
And I also love the fact that the cover of the record is her fucking belly button.
Yeah.
Because that was what everybody made such a big deal of
so
early in her career.
It was like a middle finger. It was,
yeah. It was kind of like, she's like, I'm still going to do me, but I'm deep now. Bitches, dark hair, deal.
Music for me would also be right up there.
That's
with
a great album.
But yeah, no, that's why I didn't have to put it, because I knew you would.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I thank you for that.
Thank you.
My number two is another one of those game changers, and holy shit, did it change the game. We're talking about The Chronic by Dr. Dre.
Oh.
Yeah, that, look, hip-hop changed forever.
Dre,
music changed forever.
Dre brought hip-hop kicking and screaming into the 90s
yeah.
as and, a genre with that album.
And here's the A, and he brought a whole coast with him, too. Yep. And here's the thing, hip-hop was just seen as something that people did in New York at that time, and they wore leather jackets, and they yelled and screamed. Dr. Dre said, okay, yeah, that's one type of hip-hop, but check out what we're doing over here. No, really, check out what we're doing over here. Mm-hmm. No, motherfuckers, pay attention to what we're doing over here. And then everybody listened and said, oh, shit, check out what they're doing over there. Mm-hmm. And then everybody was doing it everywhere.
He ushered in a whole new style. Absolutely. And that, you yeah. know, and people who, to varying degrees of success, copied it.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Hammer.
But yeah, before then, hip-hop was a lyricist medium. It was about what you said on the mic. Dr. Dre said it can be more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It can be about what's behind the person on the microphone also. And nowadays in hip-hop, there's so much to it. And a lot of that we owe, a great deal of it we owe to Dr. Dre and The Chronic. So much, it was where we discovered Snoop Doggy Dogg
yep.
was on The Chronic. And a lot of the Dog Pound as well. And yeah, there's so much I can go on. And I might just would listen to it from beginning to end. When I would wake up in the morning before school, I would play this album. When I get home,
I like I the
would...
$20 sack pyramid.
Yeah. That was a great one. I'd come home and I'd listen to it too. I'd listen to it before football games. Listen to it before I was going to go out on a date. Any occasion, there was a good occasion for The Chronic by Dr. Dre. Don't sleep on it. Just discover it if you haven't already.
Does anybody not know that album? I'm just, you know.
There could be some kids out there who don't.
It's one of my personal favorites.
Would you stop?
Because we know how you love hip-hop, Amy.
I don't listen to
that. And in all honesty, Amy, if I were going to make you a compilation of hip-hop to introduce you into that world.
Oh, my God. Like, I've never heard hip-hop. I'm sorry. He has it all. I'm pointing to Anthony for those of you not hooked up to our visuals here. he plays that shit in the car all the time.
If I was going to convince you to like hip-hop, it would be heavy on The Chronic by
Fine.
Dr. Dre.
Oh, and can I just say how amazing the track Stranded on Death Row is?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my yeah. God. Yeah, my favorite. Still one of my favorite verses Snoop has ever done ever in life. Ever.
I honestly love the track D's Nuts.
It's like, they get at you?
It's like everybody from the Dog Pound having a verse and everybody spits fire.
My number two... Coming from my theatrical and dance background, a lot of times when I'm listening to an album from start to finish, I visualize what this would look like on a stage if I was to do a production. And when this album came out, it was beautiful in my head, and I would love to do something to it. And it's a more recent album, and it's Lungs by Florence and the Machine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
From start to finish, that album is theatrical in my head.
I hear you.
And it's big and it's beautiful to listen to.
Yeah.
What do you?
No, you're right. As you're
he's got a thing for redheads.
No. As you're describing it, I'm thinking of it. And yes, it is theatrical. And yes, it is huge.
Right.
Yeah, it needs all of that.
And that's what it is in my head. I see that music when I listen.
It's a ballet.
It's a ballet yeah. in my head. And yes, there were some hits out of it, but some of the ones that are my favorite, like Kiss with a Fist,
yeah.
is one of my favorite songs off that album, and that was never a single, but it was so good. But if you listen to that from start to finish, in my head, it is theatrical. It is big. And I think if you listen to it like that, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I think what Julie Taymor, the bullshit she does, you should do with that album and
Don't
do something actually
say,
good.
Julie Taymor is awesome.
Joe, how you doing over there? You need a drink or something?
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Whatever. Two to Joe.
All right. So my these are my not only top two favorite albums, but they're also I think probably the two best albums in my opinion. It's Dirtwood. Do you have something to share with the class?
Sorry, that was my water bottle.
I'm sorry. You can go dehydrated, motherfucker. I speak over you talking about The Chronic?
That's the
maybe
weirdest.
Because I had nothing to add.
Dehydrate motherfucker.
That never stops me.
Yeah. Dehydrate motherfucker. Well, that is the coolest name for an album ever, yeah. Joe.
Okay. So this is when I think of probably one of an album and just start to finish, overarching, just and iconic. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Oh, well,
I mean,
yeah.
There you go. It's just from start to finish. And, I mean, with the help from my friends, it's probably one of my favorite Beatles tracks.
Great album, great cover, great parody by Frank Zappa.
I'm not even the biggest Beatles fan, but I acknowledge the genius that is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Good morning, good morning.
And, I mean, just And it ends with Day in the Life, which is just a
magnificent
song. One of my favorite Beatles songs. And,
good.
Not my favorite, but one of my favorites.
It's one of those things, the Beatles have so many fucking brilliant albums, but I think this one, just as an album, as an entity, is my favorite, and I think the best one.
I would agree with
that. So cohesive.
Yeah. No, I'm there with you.
And those were awesome jackets.
Good call.
Agreed.
Number one. Number one.
I'm so excited.
All right, here we are. Number one. My number one favorite album of all time. Brace yourself. It's by Prince.
Under the Cherry Moon.
No, but Parade is a fantastic album.
It is a fantastic album.
Would probably be a top 10.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely top 10.
You mentioned that title. I thought movie. That's
not movie.
It's an entire album that you can listen to in 34 minutes.
Yeah, which is... Prince has songs that are 34 minutes long.
He does.
Prince,
longer.
Land the plane, Prince. All right. Land the plane.
This album is my favorite for a number of reasons, and I've said that several other songs on my list bring to mind different, you know. This album came out on my 20th birthday, the day before I left home for college. Mm. So it was pretty profound. And at that time in Prince's career, he had changed his name to The Symbol, and this was the first album he'd put out under that name. And it was a big brouhaha in the media, and he was fighting with the record company. But what this was Prince, 15 years into his career, completely reinventing his sound and completely reinventing how he wrote, how he played, how he recorded, how he sequenced an album. And it broke open my favorite part of his career. My favorite Prince songs almost all come from this point in his career, because of all the songs on this album and all the songs that didn't wind up on this album, which are incredible. But the album is called The Gold Experience.
And it is genius.
And the one song that people know from it is The Most Beautiful Girl in the World.
Yeah.
Which was only included on it as an afterthought and against Prince's will. Because he was still locked in a battle with his record company at the time.
And it's not even close to being the best track on that album.
It doesn't sound like anything he did before or since. And there are so many great tracks on this album. And he's got a hip-hoppy flavor with P Control. He's got funky with Now. There's some blues elements on it with the song Shy. He's got an R&B ballad on it called Shh, which features the single greatest musical turnaround in any Prince song. Michael B., amazing drummer on that track.
Yep.
And one of my favorite Prince songs of all time that I'm so glad I finally got to hear him play live last year, Endorphin Machine, because it is just a beast of a track. And, and it ends with a song called Gold, which at the time, when he changed his name, he said that he was never going to play Purple Rain again, which of course turned out to be bullshit because he says that.
He says that at least every five years,
and he always winds up doing it. But he said that he wasn't going to do it anymore at the time because he wrote this song that was better called Gold. Now, is Gold a better song than Purple Rain? No. But it's damn close.
Oh, it's too
good. As good.
It's a great song, actually.
You didn't even mention Dolphin.
Just great tracks. But when I listened to this album from start to finish, and I had already heard a few songs off of it from bootlegs and stuff like that, but I never looked at Prince the same way again after I got done listening to this album. I mean, I was moved by this. And I couldn't stop listening to it. And it still, to this day, is my favorite. And I hate playing individual tracks off this album because I want to keep it going. It's presented as one piece, and that to me was the absolute height of achievement. He's had many incredible albums over the years, but that one for me is just the one.
Again, the reason why I didn't put it on my Prince album, because that one is also my favorite. That Gold Experience is the finest piece of work he's
done. If you are
to
a casual Prince fan, seek this album out. It's long out of print, but you can get it.
Because Endorphin Machine is just genius. It is so good.
It's psychedelic. It's rock. It's futuristic. There's elements of techno in it. It's amazing.
And seeing it live was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
Durable All right.
Wood? My number one needs no introduction or explanation.
On,
it is Thriller, Michael Jackson. Bitches. That's all I got right there.
Huh. I've never heard of that. No, I'm kidding. No, actually,
I'm surprised.
Why are you surprised by that?
I'm ashamed that I actually didn't, because that fit my theme, but I didn't.
That thriller
is amazing. I'm surprised.
My childhood, just about all of my childhood was shaped by Thriller. Just the fact that it was the first music that I think I found on my own just by watching TV, independent of my parents. It was... The whole thing about Michael Jackson being one of the first black artists to be played on MTV, and knowing that I was a black kid growing up in a white neighborhood, and knowing that isolation, just the fact that it was just fucking great music, so many hits off of that album, Michael Jackson finally coming to his own and showing the genius that he was, and
with help from Quincy Jones and Rod Temperton.
Yes, very, very true. And this album was never not good. Even when Michael Jackson was molesting kids, this album was still
allegedly.
The beast.
He was acquitted.
Allegedly.
Yeah. All right.
He was allegedly acquitted.
But anyway, yeah. Thriller, Michael Jackson, hands down.
I'm not surprised that because I also think it's a great album. I'm surprised it's your number one.
It's been a very long time, honestly, since I've listened to Thriller as a complete album.
And
you
in
know
my
what I mean?
Opinion, in my opinion, it's really the only way to listen to it.
Like, I don't even remember the track order.
I think
Billie Jean was the first song on it.
Billie Jean was the first song on side B, actually. Oh. Beat It was the second song, actually. We always listen to side B first because Billie Jean was the first one on that. I believe track one is You Want to Be Starting Something.
Which, one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like I said, I agree that it's a great album, and
I need to reapproach that one.
I'm just surprised that caught me off guard.
No.
Good
and
for it, you.
Thank you. And another one that I think is timeless, also. Yeah. Oddly enough, because it shouldn't be timeless, but it is. Just with the way that the music was made and all that, and just how it shouldn't be, but it is.
As I've said many times on this podcast, the one silver lining to us losing Michael Jackson was the attention went back to where it needs to be, which is on how brilliant an artist he was.
Yes.
Not
how
all of this
crazy.
Other
how crazy.
Batshit crazy yeah. bullshit.
And you was crazy,
none of
Michael.
That, none of yes. that matters anymore, and all we have left is the music, and how lucky are we for that?
It may matter to those kids that are still with us.
Would you stop?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Which,
and that was,
however.
Wade Robson's full of shit.
I haven't really watched it that much, and especially when this episode, I think this was the episode that made me stop watching Glee, or made me decide to watch was Michael Jackson episode, because you could tell it was written by a bunch of 30 and 40-something-year-old people that had this fond memory of Michael Jackson,
yes.
because... Those kids in high school would have been knowing Michael Jackson as the freak.
Yes.
Right.
Not
yes.
everyone. Like, I could see a couple of them being like, you know, loving Michael Jackson, but every one of them just utter reverence for Michael. I'm like, no.
Well,
people are like.
Because yeah, it's like you, because you're a throwback with music. So, yes, there might have been like
an
one or.
Understatement.
Well, you know what I mean, though? There might be one or two people that of that age that are a throwback to Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
That would know that. But you're right. Like, the majority.
Yeah. Because I would love to say to today's kids, say, kids, do you like Neo? Let me play some music for you.
Yeah, good call.
You like the way Usher dances? Let me show you this video.
So my number one is what I'm obsessed with right this moment. That's what I decided to do as my number one. What I'm obsessed with right now. What I cannot get enough of right now. And I'm going to cheat and put two of them on my number one from the same artist.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
I don't care. It's my number one and I'll do what I want. And that would be Mumford & Sons, Babel and Sigh No More. I cannot get enough of Mumford & Sons. I don't know how you can sit still listening to this music.
I meet a lot of people. It seems to me like there's no middle ground with Mumford & Sons when it comes to the listeners. You either love them or you hate them.
And I
love
them.
And I love them too. I you know.
Sigh No More is, both of the albums are fantastic. And I'm obsessed with them. I listen to them constantly.
No, I would love to see them live and make out with the lead singer.
Oh my God, yeah, me too. Both of those. I want to see them live and I want to make out with the lead singer.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you can sit still listening to this music. It is so big and
paralyzed.
Yeah. even then, Joe, in your heart, you're a dancing, is all I'm saying. But I love them. It's so big and it's so different. And yeah, no, I cannot get enough. I'm obsessed with them right now.
All right, good to know.
Joe.
All right. So this is one of my favorite bands. Not my favorite band, but one of my favorite bands. And
The Wiggles?
Yes. They've been around for quite a while.
They do a hell of a concept album.
And I love this album so much, and it has since become a musical, and it became one of the greatest cameo movies of all time, and Bean product placement movies.
Zombieland?
Tommy by The Who.
Oh, okay.
It's something that I can just put on and just listen straight through and just lose myself. And it was like...
No, I'm with you.
It was the first vinyl I went out to buy. Like, I had it on
great
CD.
Album cover, by the way, too.
Yeah, and it was a four vinyl, like, it was... And I had found it in the shop, and it was like, what, probably in the mid-90s I found it, and I was like, $35. I'm all like... And, you know, when I was in high school, $35 is a lot, because I didn't even have a job.
I like that album, and I love the shit out of the Broadway musical.
Oh, yeah, I love the Broadway musical.
Can you name some of the tracks on that album?
Pinball Wizard? I know Pinball Wizard.
Yeah. Acid Queen.
Acid Queen, which Tina Turner did in the movie.
Just sit over there and think about what's her face
in
the baked beans.
We're not going to take it. Not. And it brought...
Sally Simpson.
And it brought child abuse, cousin,
all kinds of abuse.
Molestation. And
there was all kinds of abuse in there.
And the great thing is the biggest hit was Pinball Wizard. And the fact that Townsend, who is a genius, and but the only reason he included that track was because he knew one of the record executives loved pinball. So he put that in, and it became the biggest hit off that album. But it is an amazing, amazing album. And I love it so.
Oh. Well, that was some good number ones there.
Okay. Damn right. And now comes the real mammoth part of this episode.
Whoa. Honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions.
Okay.
Yep.
So many. In no order. I'm just gonna start what came so close to being my number five, but I had to bet it out of the Rufus Wainwright Poses.
Damn it, that was mine.
I love that album.
I love Rufus Wainwright. Actually, all of his albums, but
Poses is my favorite.
Poses was on my list.
That got me through a dark time in my professional life.
Mine, having to go girly in angsty, Tori Amos, Little Earthquakes.
Fantastic.
Awesome album.
My closest honorable mention to making my list, Whatever and Ever Amen, Ben Folds 5.
Nice.
See, that's shocking.
That's a great album.
Why is that shocking?
Eh, I don't know.
That it sounds like a musical.
Throw one out there, Joe.
So I'm just going to go chronological. I mean, I'll start when I was mine chronologically, because so many of them could have made it. 1965, Highway 61 Revisited by Bob Dylan.
Nice.
That's cool. He has so many great albums, but yeah, that.
Are we still going around, or are we just?
I think just go. I don't
Let's
know.
Spit them.
Fiona Apple, Extraordinary Machine.
Oh, that's a good
seek
one.
It out. It's a good one.
That's a good one. Durwood, you got another one?
In the Squared Circle, Stevie Wonder.
Ah,
yeah. A lot of people want to hate on 80s Stevie. Fuck you. That shit was dope.
There's no such thing as hating on Stevie.
You can roll your eyes to me. I'm going way back, further back than Joe.
What?
If I'm going start to finish, sometimes I'll put this on and just listen to it.
Oh, I know exactly what you're about to say.
No, you don't.
Really?
What? The Nutcracker Suite.
Oh, okay. Then no, that's
not. I will go classical.
Does that count?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't that count?
Because it's a ballet.
But it's music on an album that goes from start to finish.
All right, fine.
Yep.
And what would you think? I was going to say Book of Mormon.
No.
Because that's
also
on my
list. I thought you were going to say Maya Angelou's Miss Calypso.
Oh, I love that album.
Which, seriously,
don't
on
laugh.
The real, is really awesome.
That is an awesome album. But no, the Nutcracker Suite, from start to finish, I will listen to that. I love it.
No, that's...
Joe? Probably up there in debut albums, Are You Experience.
Oh, good yes. Call.
I mean, Purple Haze, Manic Depression, one of my favorites. Hey Joe, Foxy Lady, Fire. Oh my God, that is such a great album.
Another one is a debut, Kate Nash, Made of Bricks.
Oh,
I love that record.
No, good.
I got The Score by the Fugees.
Oh, another good one. Yep. Another good one.
For me, The Future, Leonard Cohen.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I love Leonard Cohen, but The Future is Always. He does a cover of Always that is just so good.
The Irving Berlin tune.
Yep. Yeah. So good.
So I had, I'm throwing in some of my, favorite bands, and, some of them have some great albums. Because, like, back in, the 60s and 70s, you really made albums. I mean, you had singles, but there were so many great albums. And I wanted to put Beggar's Banquet, but Let It Bleed by the Rolling Stones is, I mean, you have Gimme Shelter, one of their best songs. Let It Bleed, Midnight Rambler, You Can't Always Get What You Want, is a genius.
Cool.
I've said many times his entire 70s catalog is untouchable, but Stevie Wonder Songs in the Key of Life.
That's a good one. That is on my list as well.
That should pretty much be an instruction manual for how you make a soul album.
Good call.
Derwood?
I've got Tragic Kingdom by...
nice. No Doubt.
Fucking No Doubt, yeah.
Cool. Two best ofs that I love, and I said it earlier, ABBA Gold. I don't even want to see your eye rolling, Derwood. ABBA Gold is awesome.
I love ABBA.
Thank you. The other best of...
It's the sound of my eyes rolling.
Best of Blondie.
That's a greatest hit.
Best of Blondie's. That greatest hits is so good because it has my favorite Blondie song on it, Sunday Girl, which is not one of her hits, but it's my favorite one by her. Joe.
My favorite or band. Them.
I'm sorry, I said
and
them.
Probably not their greatest album, but my favorite, Led Zeppelin 2. And, I mean, it's the first one was very, very bluesy, you know, because that's or a lot what they stole. I mean, took and decided to play. But, you know, 2, it really started coming into their own and just a great start to finish album.
Aretha Franklin, Young, Gifted, and Black.
Got it. Love it. Love it.
Derwood?
I got Heartbreak, New Edition.
Really?
Yes. Yes, what do you mean,
yes,
really?
But you've been on New Edition's jock for years.
Yes, since they debuted, I have... Oh, man, I love New Edition, and that's my favorite album of theirs.
I started thinking about Broadway musicals, and I said Book of Mormon, because Trey Parker, love you. Book of Mormon is amazing, but if I'm going to put on a Broadway album and listen to it from start to finish, the one that I really love the most, and this is kind of weird, is Moving Out. Which is the Billy Joel.
Which is like a Billy Joel best of.
Yes, but I love the dude that sings
Michael
it.
Michael Kavanaugh.
Oh, he's got such a great voice. And the way that...
Heart attack.
But the way that that is put together, it's beautifully put together as far as making it theatrical, which I love.
I got you.
Joe?
And we're getting into the I Am Very White section of my... You know, if that wasn't...
getting?
Yeah. Wait, oh, no. We're getting into...
Weird Al wasn't...
Perry Cuomo?
American Beauty by the Grateful Dead.
Oh, wow.
It is just a great, I mean, probably some of their biggest hits, Sugar Magnolia and Truckin' are on that. Friend of the Devil, Box of Rain. Oh, it's such a great album.
That's hilarious. Did you have any more?
I do, actually. God, I could go on all day. One of the lesser known albums. This was a drum and bass album, came out in 1998 by an artist called Terra Diva, and it's called Pulled Apart. Really great soul mixed with drum and bass kind of thing with a little ambient in it. Really good. Kind of trip hoppy. Love it.
I've got The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Yes!
Nice.
Goddamn right. It was hard to keep that one off my top five.
This is what I'm saying. We should have done top 10. I'm just saying. My next one is a soundtrack to a film, but it's also pretty much a best of, and that would be the soundtrack to Beautiful Thing, which is all the Mama and Papa's.
Ooh, nice.
Oh. That soundtrack is fantastic, and it's pretty much a best of with the Mamas and the Papas.
I'm surprised I didn't include
any. Oh, it's, yeah, that is so good. And yeah, it's, if you like them, that's a good soundtrack to get.
Nice. I have a really weird one.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I still have more Very White albums here. Because no one plays the jazz flute like Jethro Tull and Aqualung.
I'm sorry, Joe. Please take us through your Stark China White hit parade.
Yes. No, Aqualung is an amazing album. And I mean, probably one of the only bands that can rock the flute in rock.
You just said rock the flute, Joe.
Yes, and not skin flute, because I'm sure there are lots of artists that can
rock
that.
You just gotta work blues.
But, you know, I mean, best metal artist? No. But, you know.
Yeah.
I just want to remind you that in this podcast you have said rock the flute and one of my favorite polkas.
Yeah, it really has. Anthony?
I am Very White.
This is a really unusual album that a buddy of mine hipped me to a couple of years ago, and I absolutely love it. Susanna Hoffs and Matthew Sweet did an album together. Actually, they've done a couple of albums together. But their first one was called Under the Covers, and it was a collection of cover songs. Really weird cover songs done so beautifully by the two of them, and it is really, really amazing. Check it out.
Oh, will do.
Yeah.
I got the Pulp Fiction soundtrack.
That's a good soundtrack.
Yep. Oh, that's a great soundtrack.
Miserloo. Yeah, that's a fantastic.
Jungle Boogie.
Yeah, that's a fantastic
a little
soundtrack.
Little Green on there. Statler Brothers.
I'm going to go with my other Prince album that didn't get named because, again, Anthony, I could probably do a top 10 of our favorite Prince and Madonnas. But my other favorite Prince one that's right up there with the Gold Experience is Around the World in a Day.
His least successful album.
And I don't know why. Because there are some beautiful music on that album.
Here's the problem.
What are the tracks on that one?
Raspberry Beret.
Paisley Park.
Yeah, again, I'm right there with you. I don't understand why it's not, why it was his least profitable.
Because when Purple Rain came out, it exposed him to everyone, and a lot of people didn't understand who he was and what he was about. It would have been very easy for him to do a Purple Rain 2. There were enough outtakes that he could have easily done it, but he viewed that success as the opportunity to do and say whatever he wanted. He went hard left.
It is one of the
weirdest albums ever, but it's so good.
Yeah, go back and listen to, give that another listen.
Around the World in a Day is really his Sgt. Pepper, as far as, it was his psychedelic album.
And weird album covers.
Yeah.
Weird Al?
Yes.
Film covers?
Joe.
My favorite Pink Floyd album is Wish You Were Here.
Mm.
Like, Shine On You Crazy Diamond.
I love
Diamond,
that song.
You know, 1 through 5, then 6 through 9 at the end is such an amazing song and just so great. Just put on start to finish. And
I can't do enough drugs to get into Pink Floyd.
Since we have a few minutes left, we did ask on Facebook.
I have one more.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
White Blood Cells, White Stripes, and I'm done.
I have one more. And this is where we go, I'm not that white. Uncle Jam Wants You.
I'm sorry, what?
Uncle Jam Wants You. Parliament. Or is it Funk?
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Joe, you took a hard left there and
we weren't with you. Let's keep guessing.
We weren't with you. I'm sorry.
I was free if it's Parliament or Funk Dog. They're the same damn band.
They are.
So we didn't have a lot. So get in there, people, on our Facebook and give us some answers. But what we did have from our listeners, as far as favorite albums go, Joni Mitchell, Ladies of the Canyon.
Oh, love. Speaking of great Annie Lennox covers.
Yeah. Speak for Yourself, Imogene Heap.
Imogen.
Whatever.
Another great album.
Steely Dan.
Asia.
Thank you. I'm not white enough for that.
Steely Dan, they've got a few songs that I like, but
I enjoy Steely
Dan. I can't believe it, Joe.
Give the People What They Want, Sharon Jones and the Dab Kings.
No, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with anything.
Tori Amos was on there twice, Little Earthquakes and Scarlet's Walk.
See, I don't like her later stuff.
Ah.
For me, she fell off after To the Moon and Back.
You Too, Joshua Tree was on there.
Hmm.
The Cure, Galore.
Ugh.
Sergeant Pepper was on there.
Damn right.
Fashion Nugget, Cake.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know
that I'd call that like a best ever, but
we're not talking about best. We're talking about favorite.
I know.
Depeche Mode, Violator.
Oh yes.
The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, which again is one of my favorite album titles of all time. And
my favorite album title of all time is Salt and Pepper's Assault with a Deadly Pepper.
Yeah, I love that.
The Smiths, Louder Than Bombs.
Hot.
It seems that our fans are not very big fans of hip hop.
We get a lot of white people listening.
My favorite hip hop album is actually I have got a couple, but the one that really made me a hip hop fan was Light as a Rock by MC Light. Who is my favorite rapper. Ooh, but the other album that I thought of today while I was compiling my notes for this podcast, De La Soul, 3 Feet High and Rising.
Oh, that's a good one.
Really fantastic album.
I need to mention Midnight Marauders and Low End Theory, A Tribe Called Quest. Check them out.
Actually,
Public Enemy, Fear of a Black Planet.
I'm actually surprised you didn't say Paul's Boutique.
Public Enemy and Nick Takes Initiative.
As much as I love that record... In my mind, I don't think of it as a hip hop album.
Well, no, I'm just saying it's one of your favorites.
Does
Vanilla Ice count?
Ew.
Good, because he's a horrible person.
There's so many.
My favorite hip hop album is. So I love the Nutcracker.
We're waiting. You will answer that question.
She can't name a hip hop album.
She can't. She can't name a hip hop artist.
I'm not even going to dignify that.
Notice you're not going to name a hip-hop artist now, aren't you?
Biggie.
Biggie what?
Biggie Large.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Wrap this shit up, Anthony. Oh, my God.
Okay, Biggie Large is totally my new stage name.
Jesus Christ.
If you liked what you heard here, you can get a dose of our funny every day on Twitter. You can follow us at Pop Culture House, or you can follow me personally, Anthony Donovan, at Daboy, D-A-B-O-Y.
I'm at Reggie Swing.
The_Warden23.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Praise Dr. Scott.
We want to thank sound engineer Joey and everybody here at Don't Panic Studios, including K-Dubs, the Dog Pound, and them Chicken Heads.
Woo! No, make her give the email address.
And if there's something we missed, and this, it's like I said, it's cruel that we had to narrow it down to five.
We narrowed it down to five.
I know, and then we kind of went on a tangent. But anyway, email us.
That would be thehouseofpopculture@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And we will see you next time.
Biggie Large, are you fucking kidding me?
That's a new thing.
Cadbury briefcase.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
MC Rap.
I hate you all.